Human Services overview, Daniel.
What's that?
You want a Human Services overview?
All right, it's 6 o'clock, so we'll resume and our meeting is this evening. The first order of business is the library system at 381. And why don't you come forward and introduce yourself and welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Barb Bratton, and I am the director of the Kenosha County Library System, which is not a library. It is a separate entity that was formed under statutes, Chapter 43, and its purpose is to support the public libraries in the state. There are 16 systems. Two of them are one county, and the rest of them serve multiple counties. So Kenosha and Milwaukee are the only one-county systems in the state. So our job is, again, to provide support services. And it's a brilliant idea for Wisconsin to do this because it's a very rural state. You can imagine that the small libraries in the state don't have the money for our technology and delivery and things like that, that they actually, you know, need so much more than they ever have in the library services. And so the state provides money to make sure that we have an even playing field for all libraries. And so for Kenosha County, we arrange for delivery, and that's a lot of interlibrary loan that goes back and forth among libraries. We also make sure that the computer systems are running well. We arrange for the internet and that kind of thing. So this is a support organization. One of the main things that we do is work through the county to make sure that libraries, the community library and the Kenosha Public Library, are reimbursed for the service that they give to people in the county who don't pay directly to a library. So to refresh your memory, community library in the western part of our county has 4 municipalities that pay directly to them. So it's Salem Lakes, and Randall, Twin Lakes, and Paddock Lake. And then Kenosha Public Library is supported by the City of Kenosha. So if you are a resident of the City of Kenosha, you pay a local tax for the library. Everybody else in the county has access to a public library, but the libraries have to be reimbursed for that according to statute. So you'll see in our budget that that is the main thing that the system does, is make sure that those payments come through. And Kenosha County is our fiscal agent. So that calculation is done every year. This year, you can see what the calculation will be down to.
Anything else? All right, any discussion? Yeah, John.
I've heard that the town of Randall was considering pulling out of the library system. What effect would that have on the taxpayers there and where their payments would go?
You know, that really is a question for the accounting people in the county, because you know, the way that it's calculated for someone, for the municipality who pays directly to a library versus the municipalities in the pool to pay back the libraries for the service is a little bit different. So I haven't run those numbers, but basically what that would do is it wouldn't be a local tax anymore, it would be a county tax.
But the local property owners there, they still would have it on their tax bill. It would just go to your library then, instead of the community library? Is that how it would work?
No. It depends. We are only reimbursed for who uses our library, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think there were 137 or 200, let me see, I have to look. How many uses from Randall last year for at Kenosha Public Library was 136. So that would be all that would come back to the Kenosha Public Library, would be reimbursement for 136. Whereas for community library, The town of Randall, 13,347 circulations. So that would be the reimbursement to Community Library. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what it would be if they were in the pool to repay. It's based on whatever the tax turns out to be, mm-hmm. And then the value of their property, right? So I haven't run those numbers, but they sure should. Mm-hmm. Take a look and see what works better for them. What they will lose as well, though, is a seat on the board. If you're not a member of that joint agreement, mm-hmm. And you're on the board, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around, because, you know, like, here's a tax bill from Bristol, they're still assessed for the library, which that would then go to the Kenosha Public Library downtown.
It would go to either Kenosha Public Library or Community Library, because they are not directly paying to Community Library. So it depends where those circulations happened, who gets the money back.
So if the town of Randall decided not to become part of that, then those payments that were collected from the taxpayers in Randall then would go downtown, I would think, to the...
Oh, Randall's much closer to Community Library. Most of it would go out there. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the tax payments, the money.
It goes through the county, and then the county reimburses the libraries. As the fiscal agent, it goes through the county. It eventually gets to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the way it goes now is comes from the taxpayers to the town of Randall, and then they write a check to Community Library then.
That's correct.
So, it seems to me it's going to be the same amount of money, but I'm just trying to figure this out.
Maybe just a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit. I can't tell you what it was. You'll have to look really retroactively to say what would it have been in 2022, what would it have been in 2021, mm-hmm. because you haven't decided what the library tax rate's going to be yet.
True. We're still in our budget there.
So you wouldn't know that, but you do know what they're going to pay Community Library in the coming year. So right now you couldn't tell for 2024, but you could look back on 2023 and make that assessment.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yes. Ken.
So who runs the city libraries?
Who runs the city libraries?
Yes.
A board of 9 people who are appointed by the mayor.
And that's not under your jurisdiction, then?
I'm the administrator,
okay.
And I work for the board.
Okay. So I'm hoping maybe you can answer.
Can you speak up a bit?
Sure. Is there adult material in the city library?
This is not about the city library. This is about the Kenosha County Library System tonight.
Well, all those books get rotated around to all the other libraries?
They're borrowed by among libraries, but the county library system doesn't have anything to do with that.
Okay, so do they get to choose what books come to them? Who makes that decision?
Individual people decide what they want to read.
Well, I'm talking about the books that are in the Salem Library. They're all laid out there. Who provides those?
The staff of the Salem Library decide what's in the collection, and the system has nothing to do with that.
So when I asked them how that decision was made, they said it came from the Kenosha Library and that decision was made there.
Kenosha Public Library does not decide what the Community Library does.
I'll
you can ask Mr. Poole. You make your own decisions. It's a completely separate organization.
Okay. I'll have to deal with that later then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else? Is there a motion?
I would move approval.
All right, Aaron seconded. Further discussion? Did I hear somebody?
No, I was just going to second it. But
all right.
Aaron beat
him
to the punch.
You got to be fast,
yep.
I know.
We need to keep this moving.
I know.
We've got a lot of human services.
All right, further discussion? You were... No, okay, you just... Very good. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next item is Kava. Kava is at 259.
Thank you.
Hi. Good evening. How are you?
Good.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you today. Really appreciate it. My name is Nicole Rick. I'm the president of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. Ed Brock Bertilia, our CFO, with me tonight. And first of all, just want to express our gratitude for the partnership and the support from the county. Thank you to the county executive, the county board chairman, the county board of supervisors, and all the staff. We're so grateful for the partnership and the relationship here. And I will say that this partnership really is critical to economic development and the economic success of the county. And I just wanted to give you a quick overview of our activities at CAVA, and then glad to answer any questions you might have. So as you all know, our primary focus area is around corporate attraction and bringing new business to Kenosha County. And I will say we have a very robust pipeline of projects right now. And even in talking to my colleagues at the Regional Economic Development Group, it sounds like the level of activity we have here right now is unprecedented through the rest of the past, you know, 10 or 20 years. And you're seeing the results of a lot of that. And I will say it is largely in the advanced manufacturing sector, which we think is great, right? Those are obviously great primary jobs. They're contributing to the economy here, lots of investments that those companies are making. In a lot of the conversations we're having with these businesses, the high impact fund is critical to those conversations. The ability for us to have a deal closing fund and demonstrate to these businesses that are considering Kenosha County, the support from Kenosha County, the support from CAVA, and our interest in seeing them succeed here and invest here and create jobs here is really critical. So again, very grateful for that support and us being able to have that tool in our tool belt. We also continue to be very focused on our existing businesses, and we have a very robust business retention and expansion program, so we make sure that we're getting out to our employers, we make sure that we understand what their needs are, and that they know we should be their first phone call if they have any challenges, if they are looking to expand, we're here to help them with that. And cultivating those relationships is critically important to that. And I know something that's important to all of us is workforce too, and making sure that the youth of Kenosha County are prepared for jobs and have jobs to go into when they graduate. So being able to talk with our employers about what their needs are, we then can communicate that with K-12 and our higher education partners so that they're preparing that the youth for those jobs of the future. We do anticipate that housing is going to continue to be a big challenge for the nation as a whole, but obviously Kenosha County as well. We're hearing from all of our key stakeholders that that's a very important issue they think we should be focusing on, and that's something we're already having conversations with your staff about and look forward to partnering to find some very tangible solutions for that in the near future. Labor force obviously continues to be a challenge, and that's something we continue to work hard at. Obviously, you know, we worked with you to develop the Life Balance Kenosha County platform, and that's something we've seen a lot of success with. We want to make sure people see the value proposition of living and working here. But we actually just hired somebody new who's starting on Monday, and that will be a large part of her job. We'll be really building upon that. We'll be applying for a WEDC grant to do some new videography and photography. Picture and video says 1,000 words. Really want to be able to tell the story of this beautiful community and market it more. Also would like to express our gratitude for your support for that UW Extension Community Development Educator position. I don't know if you know this, but that was actually my first job out of grad school. I was the Community Development Educator in Ozaukee County, so I really see the value of that job and the fact that they're able really to be an extension of our team. So we're working very closely with Savannah on a lot of data projects so we can be smarter when we're talking to prospects, when we're trying to solve some of these problems here that we're all facing in our community. We also will be hiring a vice president position here shortly. That person will be focused on corporate attraction and then a lot of some of the more community development initiatives that we have going right now. And those community development efforts are really in response to what our employers are saying the needs are. So a lot of you were present at the Lakeview Technology Academy groundbreaking we had a few weeks ago at the KIN site. I'm really excited about that. That is our effort to help provide STEM education so that students are being prepared for the workforce when they're coming out of school. We also have been supporting the Uptown Lofts project. Obviously, that's a critically important neighborhood to the city of Kenosha and to the county as a whole. So thank you to the county for your support for that project. And then obviously everything that's going on down here in downtown Kenosha, working closely with them to make sure that we have a vibrant downtown. So lastly, we'll just wrap up and say, you know, our countywide economic development efforts are truly are countywide. So we're doing a lot in the Salem Business Park, continue to see a lot of growth there. Keen Edge is currently constructing a building, so really excited about that. And I think that the community is glad to have the jobs and the investment there. And obviously you're seeing a lot of growth along I-94 and throughout all of our communities. I think, you know, we have a lot of great spec buildings. We have a lot of industrial park land that is still available and we're able to market. So we're able to attract a lot of these prospects and they're very interested in Kenosha County. So again, you know, just want to say grateful to you for the support. Looking forward to continuing the partnership and glad to answer any questions you might have.
Discussion?
I would move approval.
I'll second it.
John.
And we have
Discussion. Was it Bill?
Brian.
Brian. Okay, there you go.
I'm hiding behind.
Yeah.
If I'm reading the right numbers, budget this year is much lower than last year. Is the pipeline better, or?
Okay. You probably don't answer to that. I apologize.
The
Go ahead.
So the budget is the exact same as last year. I think I'm assuming what you're looking at is column five of like of the projected, where we may have had like an additional draw on the high impact. That's
uptown project.
It's the uptown. Oh, that's the 350,000.
Yes. So
that's easy then. Thank you.
Uptown. All right. Anyone else? Yeah.
In terms of, you know, advanced manufacturing as being such a big up and coming thing for Kenosha County, when you take a look at our educational infrastructure that we have, of course we have Lakeview Tech for high school and so forth. Do we see that? Let's just pick one higher education. Gateway. Mm-hmm. Is there enough capacity, in your opinion, in the Gateway system, you can say, you know, Racine campus, Kenosha campus, whatever, to keep up with the demand that the advanced manufacturing is going to need? Do we have enough capacity? Are we short, or what do you think?
I think that's a very important question, and we work very closely with Gateway. You know, we do have Dr. Raju is on the board, sure. So she's involved in everything we're doing. We work very closely on initiatives there. I will say they are the model when it comes to technical education. There are, you know, schools like that all across the country that are coming here and looking at what they're doing. And I think there was something that just came out in the news today that Gateway Technology is number one when it comes to dual enrollment. So not only are they training students that are just going to school full time, they're actually training students that are in high school as well. So they're building that pipeline even earlier.
Right, there's been increased connectivity between them and Parkside and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're just wondering, you know, as time goes along here. And of course, you can detail us when you come in for your quarterly reports and so forth. Just what your opinion is, how we're doing with that. Keep us surprised. But that's my comment for the time being. Thanks.
Anyone else? Do you think that the designation of Wisconsin, I think it was yesterday or the day before, as a biotech hub, is going to have any impact here?
That's a great question. So I had been working in Waukesha County previous to this, where GE Healthcare was, so we were involved in some of those conversations. And I do think it will. And largely that's because of the supply chain. So while we may not have GE Healthcare here, we do have different medical device technology, like MedTorque as an example, that's kind of part of that biohealth and part of that MedTech pipeline. And so GE Healthcare, as an example, they're looking to source a lot of their supply chain in southeastern Wisconsin. And this investment that's coming from the federal government is going to help to build that pipeline. And so that's something I think with our highly skilled workforce down here, the fact that we have this manufacturing capacity, I think that's something that we really can take advantage of. And we work very closely with the Milwaukee 7, which was very involved in that application. So we'll make sure that we stay in the loop on that. But yeah, that's a great question.
Anyone else? All right, there's a motion on the floor to approve. No further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll take a look at County Clerk 275.
Good evening, Chairman Rose and committee members. So we're looking at the 2024 County Clerk budget. There's just a few adjustments and a couple of requests for your consideration. The beginning of the budget is mostly items that I have no control over. So I'm going to skip down to the Board of Canvas, the per diem for the board, or it's at the top there. I'm requesting that it remains the same. I will say, though, however, having a budget of $1,200 for that would mean one canvas day for the spring primary, two for the spring election, two for the August primary, and one for the November election. And ideally, that's how it will go, and things will go smooth. As you all know, in 2022, we had a lot of recounts, and so there's always that possibility. But this is where I like to try to keep it at. The next item would be the machinery and equipment. I have that remaining the same as $300. Office supplies, I'm looking to increase it by $200. And the reason I'm requesting this is there's been an across the board increase on all supplies. And we also have been taking more passport photos, and I've been purchasing the passport supplies through our regular office supplies, and which is kind of making it tighter for the other needs that we have. We spend anywhere between $500 to $750 for photo supplies. And so that's about half of that budget, and the rest is left for our regular office supply needs. So that's a couple of other things that come out of there are the paper that we use for printing the county directories. We do everything in-house. It still is cheaper for us to do it in-house. To send it out to have it done would cost us about $2,000. And this way we print only what we need, so there isn't the waste. The other one is the printing duplication increase request up to $1,700. Again, this is the cost of paper. This is both the directory and this printing of the county tax bills is a statutory requirement. So it's hard getting around that one, but it does need to increase. The next would be the election supplies. Being a four-year election cycle in 2024 presidential, that is going to bring out a lot of voters, as it always does. And I'm also expecting a higher turnout for the spring election because we have the presidential preference on there as well. I will say, looking back at the 2020 cycle, the county spent about $110,000 on the four elections. I'm not expecting that this year. The price of the ballots has remained the same. But in 2020, because of everything that was going on, there was an increase in additional ballots. A lot of people ordered absentee ballots and then turned around and went to the polls. So there was a lot of wasted ballots. And I'm not expecting to see that. I think we'll have a more accurate handle on how many ballots we really are going to need. Also, included in this cost is not just the ballots, but it's also the cost of ballot bags, express vote ballot paper, the tabulator paper rolls, result envelopes, and additional required envelopes to be used by the municipal clerks that we have to supply. Up until this year, I've been using what has been in storage, old supplies that have been in storage, and those are starting to run low. So I will be needing to purchase new supplies this year. And I'm hoping that we will have another HAVA grant. It's pretty common during a presidential year that we have a HAVA grant, and don't have any information on that yet, but when I do, I'll bring it before the board. Publications and notices. These are all the required publications required by statute. In 2020, we spent $16,450. In 22, we spent $14,400. So during a four-year election, we get close to that $1,600 again. In 2020, I believe it was up a little bit higher again because of there was some extra publications done. It also, so I'm just requesting to keep that at the same amount. I'd like to make a side note that the county does do a chargeback to the municipalities for some of the shared expenses. And in 2022, the county received back reimbursements for the spring and fall elections, a total of $16,375 to help put back into that that account to cover. The other publications I had increased to $700, and those are other required notices and publications that don't fall under the one I just talked about. So that would be like dog, things to do with dog tags, to tax deed, other things like that that I may have to publish. Asking for the mileage to remain the same. Staff development to remain the same at 2,500. I have not been able to attend the clerk conferences and meetings for the last several years due to the timing and shortage of staff. I do expect to have full staff in 24, so I do expect to be able to get back to being able to do the conferences. Our revenue for cabaret will remain the same. That's pretty set. The county only issues cabaret license for establishments that are located within the town of Kenosha County, or in the towns, none in the village or the city. Marriage license waiver remain at 800. That's not as high as what we had been doing during, like, COVID. During 2022, the marriage law changed and changed the waiting period down to 3 days. So there's not as many requests for the waivers. Now to the marriage license, that amount I am increasing to 62.7. Currently this year we're right on track. As of yesterday, we've issued 780 marriage licenses. Just for a little information here, the five-year average for marriage license issuance had been 750 a year. So we're over that average. At the end of 22, we issued 932 licenses, and I expect that we'll come in about the same at the end of this year. I'm going to explain the breakdown of the fees for the marriage license is $100 for each marriage license. Out of that $100, $25 gets paid back to the state, $20 goes to the courts, and $55 goes to the county clerk, which is Kenosha County. I did a comparison of marriage license in our surrounding area of the fees, and I'm recommending that Kenosha County raise the fee to $110. This would be in line with our surrounding counties, and that would give the county an extra $10 per license, bringing in an average revenue increase of about $9,000, as long as we continue to do the have about 900 marriage licenses. So in that area, that's what I'm requesting, an increase to 110. We've been at $100 for, I think, close to 10 years. And then county clerk fees is increasing to 2,400. This is one of the categories where notary public services falls under. I've been working in the clerk's office for the last 20 years, and it has been 50 cents for a simple notary. We charge $5 for completing more extensive documents such as I-9 forms or wills, mortgages, things like that. I checked with the Department of Financial Institutions regarding what we are allowed to charge for our services, and we, as a county entity, we may charge up to $5 for a notary. I am not suggesting that we increase it to five. I'm recommending that we increase it to two. I have a couple to $2 instead of 50 cents. My reasoning for this is that most of the public does not carry cash, and they want to use a card. And in order for them to use a card, we already automatically have to charge them at a minimum $1.50, because we can't use a card for anything less than $1.50. So in a lot of ways, I believe upping the notary to $2 would make for an even dollar amount and make it an easier transaction for the customer. And the idea of, like I said, most people use a debit card or a credit card, and they end up paying more anyways because they want to use their card. This will increase our revenue slightly, but to be honest, when most customers find out that we do notary and they come in, they're expecting to pay $20, $25 for a notary. That's what a lot of the banks used to charge them, and $15 to $25, and they're surprised by how low our fees are. And also within this fund is the directory, when we receive the directory of public officials, when we sell over the counter that little booklet, I did have to increase it to $5 to help cover the cost of paper and printing. So that explains that one. And then next there are the passport fees. I'm increasing the amount of revenue to $78,000. Last year when we talked at budget time, I expected that at the end of 2022 we'd have 1,000 applicants. We ended 22 with 1,050. Already this year we've processed, as of yesterday, 1,224 applications. Currently we're averaging 125 applicants a month, and this is approximately 80% increase from our 2022 monthly average. I expect that by the end of this year we should have a minimum of 1,500 applicants. This would be an increase of 500 more than last year. I want to thank you all for approving the additional part-time position that was approved last year through the budget. This has allowed for the increase in revenue and for the office to provide more services to our residents. The number of applicants that we service include, in this number of the, when I'm saying 1,500, includes just the customers that we serve that we submit the applications for. It does not include the renewal applicants that we have been able to add to our customer service options by having additional staff. Although the only fee we can collect from a renewal customer is if we take their photo, I still view this as added form of customer service as a valuable benefit to our residents. It helps to promote our service and gives them a positive experience with the county clerk's office. Having 5 acceptance agents on staff allows for us to offer more passport services, and it is reflected in the increased applications that we've processed. The fees collected for the county through passport applications is $35 per applicant. This fee is set by the U.S. Department of State. Though they have increased their own fees, they have not increased the acceptance agent fees for many years. The only fee that we have influence over for passports is the passport photos. Currently, the county charges $10 per person per photo fee. I did a cost comparison with other locations here in Kenosha that take passport photos, and the range is anywhere from $15 to $18. If the county were to increase the photo fee to $12 a person, and we take approximately 1,500 photos a year, this would increase our revenue by $3,000. This would help offset the requested increase in office supplies and other publications fund. Therefore, I'm recommending that the county allow me to increase the photo fee to $12 per person. It still keeps our prices below those of the post office and the drug stores, and it continues to provide better and still cost-effective services. And I know one thing you all are waiting to hear about is the reason why I got that part-time person, or part of the reason why. I'd like to just share with you all real quick here the goals and plans that I have for the office. The goal to conduct the special passport event services at KCC is still part of my mission and a goal for the office and staff. Getting everyone properly trained, and I have to say I didn't hire that part-time, I hired a part-time person in April and that didn't work out, and then I didn't get the other part-time person until July, and she's awesome. So right now I have a really great staff. But getting everyone trained properly has to happen first. The plan is to have 2 of my staff members working the special events passports at KCC. I'm currently working right now with the U.S. Department of State to hold a passport event at the Kenosha County Center on December 8th from 12 to 4. This would be offering full passport application services, photos, We would help with first-time applicants, renewals, anybody that needs help. After this one session, we will review and evaluate the changes or improvements we need to be able to do this at another site at KCC. And in 2024, I expect to offer special passport event days on a regular basis at KCC. And the reason why they're called special passport event days is because the license given to my office to do passports is only for my office. And my office, even though we have the satellite office, we have to pass it through the U.S. Department of State to have our events there. So I'm not limited to what I can do. I just have to pass it through them. And that's where we're at with that. And let's see, the other part of that request from last year that is affecting now is the public records requests that I'm already beginning to receive more and more every day again. I put a plan together to track these requests. They can become very overwhelming, especially during the election cycles. I'm working with my staff to make as many records available on the county website as possible so that we can just direct the requesters to the website. This supports the county's desire for more transparency, and my staff has been doing a remarkable job making records more easily accessible to the public through the website. And last thing I'd just like to say, I've been serving Kenosha County for 20 years, whether as an employee and now as the county clerk. I've always been very conscientious on spending, and I will continue to strive to provide, to watch spending and be very conscientious, and to strive to provide extraordinary customer service that our residents have grown to know from the clerk's office.
Thank you. Aaron?
Do you recall what our HAVA grant was three, four years ago?
It was $80,000.
Okay. Do you think it might be the same this year?
I'm guessing that it's still going to be it'll be bigger than some of these other grants that are going on right now that we don't qualify for, the municipalities do. But they have, you know, put specific requirements on those, and like the one in 2020 was for election security. So then I worked with IT, and we did a lot of different things with that money to make our elections more secure. I can only speculate, but I have a feeling it'll probably be going towards the same kind of thing.
Okay, and you're requesting an increase in fees. Is that in the budget resolution, or how do we get those increased? Do we have to do that separately?
By virtue of passing the budget, passing the fees.
Because it's in our line items. Figures. Okay.
Correct.
That's good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
John.
Thank you. I think we heard in the last couple days that the ballot envelopes are changing. Mm-hmm. So since those are changing, aren't the ballots themselves changing? Or?
No, the ballots will be the same. The envelopes are purchased by the municipalities. The absentee envelopes are paid for by the municipalities. That is included in their budgets. So that isn't part of...
So there's no change on that?
It won't change the ballots. The absentee envelope and the certification portion and the military ones, they're in color, so that you should be able to easily tell what each ballot is for. You know,
so they're like, just color-coded? They're not changing sizes or anything?
No, same size.
Okay. And how is the staff turnover in your office? It seemed like there's a different personnel every time I'm in there.
Yeah. So we have been, I think I have a solid group in there now. Everyone works very well together. That makes a big difference. If you have people who can't get along, it makes the work environment difficult. So right now we have a very supportive team. Everyone is very, they like each other. They like working together. They have fun working while doing good work. And they're all, I'm very pleased. I'm very excited. And like I said, I always hate to say, like, oh, I got this great staff, you know, and now, because I don't want anybody to leave, because I feel like, you know, but rebuilding a whole office, because that's basically what I was given to do, is to rebuild, you know, after losing, not losing, but, you know, the retiring of a very seasoned employees, or, you know, and Mary, and then moving into the person to have all, basically have all the knowledge and have to be teach. That's what I've been doing for years. And this group is very self-motivated and problem solvers, so I feel really good about this group.
Thank you.
I don't want
much.
Any more turnover.
Thank you.
All right.
I just want to say that the increase in the fees seems logical. You know, when I think about how long it takes to notarize something, you know, a couple bucks is cheap. And when you think about how much time that takes from the personnel, I think that's a great deal. And the photo is the same in my mind. Are there any ballots mailed out without being requested?
That would be a question for the municipal clerks, because they mail the ballots. I do not. But my initial answer through process would be no.
Okay.
That's not part of the process.
I know 2 years ago that happened, so I was just wondering. Okay, I'll check it. But thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
And this includes all of the fee.
Yeah.
Increases. If you wanted to vote against it, we could remove the resolution or the fee.
My motion includes all the requested changes.
All right. Further discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I know it might have been long winded, but, you know, I work all year on this, so I want to share it.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thorough.
All right, the next is the information technology and land information.
Looks like Scott's first.
Okay, we're going to do land information first.
Correct. Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Scott Schutze, Director of the Division of Land Information. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to both submit and review this proposed 2024 land information budget with you. Land information has been hard at work throughout 2023 on a number of projects related to both mapping and real property listing. I'd like to highlight two that we worked on. We, along with a few other offices throughout the county, we completed phase three of the Veterans Honor Portal. That particular application is now fully functional, and we're very proud of it. And perhaps our highest profile project we just finished this summer was the update of our interactive mapping application, which is the most well-used application on the county website. We're very proud to put those tools in the hands of the public and developers throughout the county as well. We have a in this budget we're discussing tonight, there's a number of projects for 2024 that you'll see sprinkled throughout. The first one will be the capture of 2024 aerial imagery in the springtime. We will send a plane up in the air if this is approved, and we will collect both top-down pictures as well as oblique photos that are taken at a 45-degree angle. And we are attempting to do that every 2 years alongside all of the other counties in the Southeast Wisconsin region. The second project is the Next Generation 911 project. This is being led primarily by Joint Services that you've already heard from. There are two different grants associated with that particular upgrade. And there's a larger one with Joint Services, and then there's another one for the mapping aspects of that program. Mapping drives a lot of the response that is found in that system. And that system will allow the use of video and text and so forth in this next generation product. The last project that you'll see sprinkled throughout this budget is our LIDAR acquisition project. This is an exciting project that's highly collaborative with a number of different government entities, all the way from the federal level down to the local level. It presents significant cost savings to us. This is a $98,000 project that the county is going to get into at under $30,000. Because we're working with the United States Geological Survey, the Regional Planning Commission, the state, Wisconsin DOT, the Economic Development Commission, and the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program as well. We're very proud of our accomplishments here today, and we look forward to many additional contributions into 2024 and beyond. And these accomplishments are due to the dedication of our staff and their commitment to our work. So if we look at the operational budget here, obviously salaries, there's a difference that's largely due to the wage and compensation study. If you look at the other professional services line item on page 346, there's a significant increase there. That's due to those one of the projects we were just talking about, the Next Generation 911 project. That's $106,000 for that project. The state of Wisconsin, if we are awarded the grant, will be giving us 95% of the cost for that particular project, and we will pay only 5%. If we are not awarded that grant, that will be pulled out of this budget. The second project in that other professional services line is our monumentation program. That's a series of 1,200 monuments spread throughout the county that are the basis for any property survey that takes place in Kenosha County, whether it be for someone wanting a survey of their property or the start of plans to build a business out on I-94 or anywhere else throughout the county. That particular project has a 1% increase being proposed for this year, and will have a subsequent 1% increase for the next 4 years, because the Regional Planning Commission, as our county surveyor, is asking for a 5% increase, and rather than asking for it all at once, they're going to do it incrementally. On the capital side of our budget, in the imagery line item on page 347, we're asking for $78,000 in bonding. There are two significant projects there. Number one is the 2024 imagery project. We're asking for $48,000 there. We also have some cost sharing funds we're getting from the federal transportation funds. And then we have a little bit of monies that we're going to carry over to make that project come to realization. And then also in that $78,000 is the $30,000 that we're requesting for the LIDAR project that I referenced earlier. Those are the highlights of this budget. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Discussion? Karen?
So the bonding is $78,000, and I see the imagery is $78,000. Is that the imagery project and the LIDAR together?
It is.
As the expense? That's what it is?
Yes.
Okay, it's on the way top of the page.
Yep.
Okay, and then, so if we do get the grant, we haven't budgeted for that because we don't have it yet. How will that, grant money then be, go into the reserves?
Is the grant in your budget set?
Tell me where I missed it if it isn't.
I'm sorry, are you referring to the grant for the Next Generation
911
project?
Yes.
That is in here both as an expense and a revenue.
Where is the revenue listed? That's the state grant? Okay, sorry.
That's in the state grant line of the...
445460.
Correct.
Okay. And that also would include something else, because you said the 911 project was $106,000. And the grant would be 95% of that?
The grant would be 95%. So of that $101,700, $100,700 would be the 95%. And then there's another $1,000 in there for a training and education grant we get from the Wisconsin Land Information Program.
Okay, all right. And if, like you said, if we don't get that grant, then we're not doing the 911 project.
Correct.
At this time. Okay, thank you.
Bill?
On page 347, we're looking at the revenue item, and it's a GIS revenue. Where does the GIS revenue come from?
The GIS revenue comes from the Village of Summers. We do have a GIS services contract with the Village,
okay.
And we realize some revenues from them.
Okay, because they're a user of our GIS infrastructure, is that the deal?
Correct, and we support them in different GIS-related projects within the Village.
Okay. I noticed the GIS is also available to taxpayers, citizens of Kenosha County, when they want to look something up in terms of tax records and so forth, you can see GIS. Print out of it, which leads us to our next point, sale of maps and plats. There's a small amount of income from that each and every year. What type of maps and plats are being provided by your office?
That is something that is changing over the course of the last 10 years or so. Typically, those maps have been quarter section maps that
sure.
are roughly 20 inches square,
right.
purchased by title companies,
yeah.
people that want to have a map at their home and so forth. But what's happening is we've made so many of these maps available on interactive mapping,
yeah.
people are moving away from hard copy maps.
Okay.
And so that revenue has been going down each year.
Okay. In terms of map availability, I remember in the old days you could have USGS survey maps of, say, Kenosha County. Would that be available through your office if a citizen wanted an actual hard copy of that? Could you actually print that out as part of your capability?
We have the capability to do it. There would need to be a charge for
sure.
the printing services.
Okay.
But people typically don't look at those.
It's not as popular as it used to be. So. Okay. But I can at least mention to my constituents, should they want it, it's a four-fee charge that could be done.
Correct.
Okay.
I would like to point out that if you go on to our interactive mapping, you can access 1-foot contours on there that are much more detailed than the USGS.
Okay. More detailed, correct.
Yeah, correct.
Concludes my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The other professional services, the next gen 911, why wouldn't that be in joint services? I'm just a little confused how this is in land information.
That's a great question. Joint Services is certainly heading up that project. It's their decision to move forward with that. Okay. Mapping plays an important role. We have, for the last 15, maybe close to 20 years, been supplying mapping data on a nightly basis over to Joint Services. And what happens is when a call comes on the phone, it puts a dot on the map for them. That dot on the map tells them who the responding agencies are. They don't have to make a decision. The map is making the decision for them. This next generation 911 makes the mapping portion very important again, and therefore not only do they have the grants for all the equipment that will go in joint services, but there's a separate grant program through the Department of Military Affairs just for the mapping data, and that's what we are leveraging here with this particular grant.
Okay, and then to the budget director, the bonding for the LIDAR system there, mm-hmm. $78,000. If we're getting these maps done every 2 years, why are we bonding for this? Why isn't it just an expense?
You can probably answer that better than I can, but it's not necessarily every 2 years.
If I may, there's two projects in that $78,000. Yeah. What we're getting every 2 years are new air photos.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Which are images. The LIDAR is not a photograph. LIDAR is a laser pulse shot down at the Earth's surface, and then it's measured how long it takes that pulse to hit the Earth's surface and get back to the sensor in the airplane. Now imagine that happening thousands of times per second. That creates a very detailed picture of the Earth's surface. It's different than a photograph, however, and it's used for different applications as well. So The LIDAR, we are collecting only once every 7 to 10 years. The air photos are what we are collecting once every 2 years.
Okay, thank you very much then. Thank you.
Can you explain what the new 911, what's that going to do that current doesn't do?
I'm not the best authority to discuss that. However, I can say that the new 911 system will, it will be able to utilize video and text and other types of data other than just the call itself. And it will facilitate I-3 call routing, and it will in effect create better response times from our 911 center.
Sure. Further discussion?
Motion to approve.
Second. And a second here. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And who's presenting the IT?
Me, David.
All right, very good.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me.
And that starts at 3:35.
Yes, 335.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. So starting on the operational side, and I'm on, actually on page 336, looking at salaries, just like the planned info, most of the increases are coming from the class income. So those are the expected additional adjustments there. There are two major areas that I wanted to point out and discuss on the operational side. Data processing costs. As you can see, there is an increase, a substantial increase from last year to this year. That's a direct cause of GASB 96. So what that means is the amounts that we were normally capitalizing year over year for our Microsoft licensing, Dayforce licensing, so any licensing costs can no longer be capitalized, and those are now included in our data processing costs. I can touch more upon that if you guys like, although there are three major portions that kind of accumulate most of that price point. So our Microsoft licensing includes Office, D365, which is our ERP, and also our support. That's $790,000 approximately of that total cost. So that's 30% of the budget right there. Dayforce currently accounts for $408,000, which is another 16%. And then this year we're going to be looking into getting an EDR solution, so that's stepping up our security. In years past, to maintain our security insurance, typically they'll send out questionnaires year over year, and they usually tip their hat by putting questions in that questionnaire, and that kind of allows us to project what the next requirements are going to be to continue our insurance. They've had a lot of questions about EDR, so that's the next thing up. In previous years, we've done MFA, two-factor authentication, and number matching. So anybody that has accounts here probably gets annoyed by that, but that's continues to add layer upon layer of security to help continue and enhance what we've got here. So the fourth piece is give us fiber, which is our common internet, and that's $130,000 of that budget as well, which is another 5%. So just those four items alone represent 57% of that total budget in data processing. The next increase that I wanted to go over was other professional services. That's about $53,000 more than last year. The reason for that being is we just finished implementing D365, and as we continue to grow there, we may need support. So instead of having a dedicated support that would cost a lot of money, we would supplement that through other professional services. And as our internal knowledge continues to grow on that, the need to have other professional services or specific support for D365 will decrease.
John?
According to this other professional services, it's the same amount, $284,000?
That's projected.
Oh, so you're not using projected for...
Column 2 and column 6.
Column 2 and 6, is that what you use?
Correct.
Got it, okay.
And as for the rest of the numbers, as we get down, we either decrease by a couple thousand, depending on the line item, or it stayed the same. So, if there's, I don't know if it's appropriate to ask, if there's any questions at this point before I jump in with the capital side, which is also fine. So on 337, I apologize. It's probably easiest if we go to the appendix, which has our kind of a PowerPoint style presentation that I put forward. That's kind of a, what we've done in IT over the years, break down all the individual capital projects, just to describe what we have going on currently this year, and it compares and contrasts it to what is projected next year.
Is the appendix that is secondary?
Appendix of the back, yeah.
Well, the reels are. All right. So,
it's on the monitors as well, Chairman.
So you can see on page 2 here, it's a year-to-year comparison of where we were last year, or where we were projected to be for 2024, and then where we were for 2023. So before I begin, just to tee this up, every year we start our budget process in June, and we request that the county submits budget requests to us to review and kind of assess to see what those costs would be. And this year we ended up getting 89 initial requests, and that total amount added up to $5.3 million. Is not what you see up on the board, so it's significantly less. But what we do is we meet with our IT steering committee, and that's department heads, and we go through and assess needs and based off of priorities through those discussions. And this year we brought it down to 30 final requests, which equal out to the $1.4 million. So out of that $1.4 million, $600,000 of that is for a new HCM solution, it's new HR, payroll time and attendance. $350,000 is computer life cycle, so it's our year-over-year replacement of computers, whether it be laptops or desktops. And it's not a single project, but if you combine them all together, another $204,000 of that is just security cameras, and that represents 15% there. So out of those three items, that's 83% of the overall ask that we have for this year. What I'd like to do is just go over any projects that are $40,000 or over, which is only a handful, given that most of them are going to be the items that I discussed already. So if you want, we can go page by page and look at each project. So we go to page 3 or 4?
Three is
the column. So no high dollar ones there. And I don't know if it's appropriate to stop and ask in each individual one, see if there's any questions. I do have notes on each individual one. So I'll
see that.
Good.
All right.
So
can I go back?
Yes.
Just so I don't forget.
Yep.
On the back here, on page 337, are the computer miscellaneous account 581700. You have that the adopted budget was $1.9 million, but the projected is $3 million.
There were carryover funds for projects that were not finished. So if you look at the modified budget,
okay.
So that,
yep, I see that.
The adopted, there's a significant dollar amount that was for projects that were not completed and not finished.
Okay, it's carryover. Okay, all right.
And so the $3 million reflects the usage of some of those funds as well.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, didn't mean to step in.
I'm ready to answer. All right, jumping back to project one, any questions on project one at all? So
we're at project two now?
Project two, yes, please. Pretty low on that one as well, so no over 40,000 ones. But yeah, a couple for Brookside and Brookside Veterans. And then project three, which is going to be the first large ticket item we have. So you can see we've got the human resources, the HCM, so that's the new payroll time and attendance system that we're looking to implement for next year. Project four, which is the next page, that represents some of the countywide infrastructure projects. So 350,000 for the laptop and desktop computers. In here, the second line item represents 58 out of the 100 total security cameras that we're going to get next year. 58 of them are replacing old ones to make sure we're staying up to date on the lifecycle process of those.
Can you tell us on that again? 58 replacement cameras and the balance adding up to 100 is for new ones?
Yeah, the additional 42 would be for new ones, correct, at various locations.
And that's throughout the county general, downtown campus, KCC, everywhere?
Yes, so there are 4 for circuit court, 13 for pretrial, 19 for KCDC, 4 for facilities, 2 to 4 out at Petson and Brightondale, depending on. And it also includes, there's a separate project court, but an E-bridge to allow us to expand that far as well.
For applications such as Petson and Brightondale, are they surreptitious? Is there a sign that says you're under video surveillance? How is that set up?
As far as having a sign, I'm not sure, actually. That might be a better question for Parks, yeah. I do know that what we're looking to expand over there are license plate readers. So specifically on the Petson and Brightondale ones, those are going to be for LPRs.
So you're not doing facial recognition?
Not, no.
I'm somewhat comforted. My question, thank you.
All right, anyone else?
What do we need license plate readers in our parks for? Are we having a lot of vandalism?
There is, yes. There have been a couple events this year. I don't know the specifics, but yes, there have been events where it would have been nice to have be able to hold people accountable. They're usually late night partygoers.
So I assume these things are infrared or whatever?
The exact technology they use, I don't know, but yeah, they can read pretty well in the dark, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's actually some software that goes along with it to make out the license plates for us, so we don't have to guess. It just does it.
Thank you.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right.
So moving on to Project 5. So the big ones in there are, every year we typically have a branch or two that will do some upgrades for audio and visual. This year ends up being branch 7, the 86,000. The other two that are of that price, you know, higher price point are just security cameras. So those ones are calling out specifically the detentions, or KSD detentions, and yeah, pretrial in those two.
What is this lifestyle audio?
Life cycle. Yeah. So
life cycle.
Yep.
Lifestyle.
For that one, I'd have to look up the specifics, but typically they'll upgrade, they'll do audio enhancements, they'll get new microphones, potentially new monitors, those types of things. Yeah. And infrastructure to support it, whether it be a new base station, I don't know what they're called, but so everything plugs into something out there. So. Moving on to Project 6 Public Works, no high ticket items there, just security cameras will represent a portion of that. Nothing on Project 7. Project 8 is that's consistent answer. And then Project 9, which is another large amount, which is the annual contractor support. And that's to supplement the capital projects that we have from the specialists who come in and perform. It'll be assistance with Microsoft products, whatever the large project is that year typically. And then Section 10 is our reduction. And Project 12 is nothing for this year. Is there any questions about any?
Hey, through the chairman to either finance or HR, for the human resources project, have we determined who we're going with? Are we going to change from one vendor to another, and that's a pretty big project.
I'm not 100% sure where we're at. The finalists, there, we had whittled it down to two finalists. This is an all-encompassing system, so it will involve timekeeping, payroll, and HR, where currently we have a separate timekeeping system and a separate payroll and HR system. The two finalists are ones we're familiar with. They are Kronos, which is now UKG, and Ceridian. And we've seen demos from both, and the scoring teams have done their scoring. And I believe they may have come to a conclusion, but I don't want to jump the gun.
That's
okay. Not true.
I don't want to get out ahead of things publicly, but we had Ceridian and Kronos. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that we would be unified with just one?
We will be. That
we
is
will
what
be.
The RFP was to unify the systems, whichever system will be all-encompassing.
That seems like a big positive.
Yes, there are a lot of efficiencies built into working within one system. Good.
And then the second question I had is when I was here and we were looking at this, the technology was starting to advance where it gave us more horsepower when it came to recruiting and selecting. So if you could just speak for a minute to that.
The HRS system we have today, we do use the recruitment for that. And we've been able to do the same with the new system. And yes, it makes life better for everyone. So we look forward to improvements in that area as well. Much better reporting capabilities.
Thank you. That answered my question. I yield.
Bill?
Looking at page 9, Public Works, last item, KCC, voting visual hearing room remodel for $60,000. That's the large room at Kenosha County Center where meetings are held, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
In that item we're talking about, is that something we'll be doing in-house, or is this a contracted type deal? Do you know, or do you have to follow up with Public Works?
I can look into that for you, unless you've got any knowledge on it right now.
Because it is in need of being addressed. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been out there, and it's been rather poor sound quality for public hearings and budget for Public Works.
Yeah, I think we've been utilizing some like a handheld system to pull in there at times, I think, too, right? Yeah. I can look and see what the status
of the
project
is. Sure, follow up.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's all I have.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah. I would move approval.
Second.
Further discussion? Is there anything further you wanted to say? No. All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right. If there's no further discussion, we'll vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It passes. Good.
Thank you.
Does anybody want to take a break here for 5 minutes? Last night, somebody suggested.
I'll propose that.
Yeah. So we do that. I've been messing with that.
Second.